The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. I'm joined by Rob and Chris. We got a lot of pay-per-view to talk about. Used to be pay-per-view. At least one of them is still a pay-per-view. The other is premium live event. It's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, boys. Very, very thankful for you guys. Thankful for everybody at the Barber's Chair. Thankful for all you guys listening and supporting us at home. It's Survivor Series week, as is tradition in the WWE. So we'll run through the big matches on the card, War Games. We got two War Games matches. I'm a little bit miffed that there's not like a traditional 5-on-5.
Yeah, it kind of felt like, you know, they were really teasing the Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce stuff, like really right when Nick Aldis started. It seemed like they might do it, but like, I don't know if they don't have five more guys on each side that they could really do with, you know, War Games kind of taking up 10 Raw guys. Like, yeah. I mean, you could do like, even if you did like,
match.
Yeah, Gable and Otis and like Tozawa and one other tag team against like the Street Profits and one of the SmackDown factions, like it's something at least. I mean, the babyface heel alignments might be off there, but like at least you get one on the card then.
Yeah. Survivor Series has never been that pay-per-view that like it mattered who was face and who was heel on the teams. Yeah. Sometimes yes, because if it would bleed into storyline, but if it's just like brand versus brand, it's never truly mattered. So like I would have loved to see the traditional 5-on-5. I'm not going to be mad that we got two War Games matches on, you know, main roster. Last year's was pretty fun, so this year should be good too. But AEW went ahead and did, I want to say this is what, 2019, 2020. This is their fifth Full Gear. Wow. They did their fifth Full Gear event last night in Los Angeles, California. I did not see, so most of like the talking points of like matches could be on you, but like there's some big things that did pop off of it. One, which we already knew was going to happen, is Billy Ocean Spray is in AEW. Do you have any hopes or dreams for Mr. William Ospreay in AEW?
Both of the Omega matches are very good. Like, if he can do more stuff like that, that'd be good. But there's not, like, really a dream match for his I'm dying to see there. Like, I guess him and Danielson could have a good match, but like he's a good worker. He could have good matches with a lot of people. That would have been the case, I think, if he went to WWE as well. So it's like the work's not really the thing. It just, I don't know how well-rounded he is as kind of a, you know, all around professional wrestler. I don't know how well he can talk. I don't think he can talk very well, to be honest with you. So he probably does fit better in AEW. And you know, it kind of always felt like, I know WWE had interest, but it kind of always felt like he was just going to end up in AEW anyway. So, like, I get why it was hyped up the way it was, but also, like, it's a big announcement, but it's not a surprising announcement.
No, and plus he was already on AEW television. So it's just like, oh, he's coming here full time when his New Japan contract runs out in February. But he'll still be a part of, you know, Wrestle Kingdom likely, and it's not – you know, they hype it up as a big free agent signing, and I understand, like, yeah, he's full-time now coming into the fold, but it just seemed like a lot of pomp and circumstance and nothing for something that we already knew was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, I know, and especially the way Tony Khan worded the tweet originally, where it was, like, gender neutral and got people to think off the bat that it was Mercedes, which clearly was the intention of that. I don't know, like...
Not ready yet.
You could have just been like, oh, you know, it's Will Ospreay, but it's, they made him a big deal, and that is good. I mean, that's how you should present someone like that.
Yeah.
How they should be presenting Jay White as well, but that's a whole another thing.
Lord have mercy. That was a whole thing throughout the night, and like, I remember coming on, because I didn't watch the 0 hour, so, you know, the tag team match, why are they still doing this with Ring of Honor? But you know, MJF gets something shattered and he allegedly can't compete. And for the life of me, why they said Adam Cole was going to be the one to do it. And we all know Adam Cole can't wrestle right now.
Well, yeah. And like, that's the thing. Let's just start there. Cause like, MJF's not cleared, but this guy who's on crutches and a walking boot is cleared.
Makes no fucking sense.
The next level to that is, if Adam Cole is cleared, why couldn't he be cleared for the tag title match, you know, on the show an hour earlier? Right. So, again, there's a bunch of flaws right off the bat. And listen, the MJF stuff, it's gotten increasingly more, you know, WWE-oriented, because he's gotten more control, and that's what he knows, that's what he grew up on. And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing overall, but, like, it doesn't really fit what AEW's done for the past 4 years. I think that's where there's become a real disconnect with, it's almost starting to feel like how Cody felt, where MJF's doing his own thing separate from everyone, and that's fine, but it's not fine when he's the world champion doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, for him to just come back in a ambulance or whatever the hell, like, it's very WWE, and it just didn't work.
Chris, what's your take?
He was his audio.
Like,
his audio,
yeah.
Yeah, his audio was messed up.
I guess my thing with MJF, and you know, he clearly wants to be a WWE. He very clearly wants to go in and be a top guy in that promotion. And while he's here in AEW, he's going to do the most he can to make it a rival. And you know, I understand, like, that's not his style. I think it's still upon whoever's in control of booking, whether it's MJF or whether it is Tony Khan or whoever fucking higher up, or at least there's got to be someone to vet and be like, yo, this doesn't make any sense. Because it did make any sense for Adam Cole to be the one to pipe up and say, hey, I'm going to be in this main event. And it didn't make any sense to get back to the end of the night and then all of a sudden MJF's back in the main event. It was a big waste of time for what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And if that was the case, then maybe Jay White needed to be the one to get the win and to get the pinfall. And then there's a storyline to build off of that. And it wasn't. So I don't understand what the end game was with that.
So now, instead, you know, Jay White just kind of looks like a loser. Like, he couldn't beat this guy that had to come in from the hospital, you know, a second before the match. And, you know, he focused on the injured body part the whole time. It was honestly like... the worst, like, Super Cena stuff is what it reminded me of. Like, he came in an ambulance. He, you know, he had to deal with Jay White and both the guns and just ran through them all in one.
And he's not Super Cena.
No.
Like, where did he start, like, playing up these babyface tendencies? I don't know. But, like, I don't look at MJF as, like, this ultra mega star or this sympathetic figure or somebody that I have to rally behind. You know, and he's not that. He's never going to be that. The booking of that, and, you know, I've been out on AEW for a minute right now, but I still pay attention, you know, and I see what's going on in the main event scene, and nothing of it is interesting to me. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm saying that, and like, Raw, you know, World Heavyweight Championship scene is just like boorish, but like this, yeah. I'm good. I'm all the way good. The Young Bucks got booed in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's been kind of a whole thing. You know, a lot of people have started to kind of turn on them a little bit, I think. There are another ones where their stories never really feel connected with the rest of the promotion, or their stories are just, you know, dissension in the Elite, and you can only do that so many times. And, yeah, I don't know, man. Ever since they signed those big contracts, they've kind of been phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah, it's a shame, but, I mean, hey, the... the two men supporting Bobby Hull get a victory. They
who's
AEW
bad.
Tag champions?
Ricky Starks and Big Bill, they retained them.
Okay, sure. Match. Yeah, the Golden Jets, you're soon to be AEW World Tag Team Champions. I want to go back and watch that Texas Death Match. Because
it was very good.
Every clip from that, from the beginning with Prince Nana. I love Prince Nana. I'm so glad he's on like a bigger scene. And to Hangman drinking the blood. There was a lot of shit. A lot of clips they would share of the match online. It just looked real dope. I liked the storytelling going to the Friday show. I'm blanking on the promotion. And Swerve was there and Hangman Page pulled up and they had to get like pulled apart. So like this little feud has been, and this is part of my checking in on AEW. I'll check in on this feud, but mainly I'll check in because people are very, I don't know the word that I want to come to when it comes to Swerve. You know, it's either Swerve is, he doesn't have it, he's doing too much, or WWE fucked up. And I don't think the latter, but I do think he was one of them people that cutting was a mistake when they decided to make the cuts. They didn't fuck up, but it was a mistake to cut him because he is a great performer. He's been a great performer.
Yeah.
And AEW is given an opportunity to shine and great dance partner with Paige, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night, I mean, that felt like a star-making performance for Swerve for sure. Like, it feels like either of those guys could be, you know, world champion tomorrow, and it would be a lot better than what they got going on right now, which kind of makes the MJF thing even worse. So it's like, yeah, and I mean, I think with Swerve in particular, he is going to be one that WWE missed, you know, but he also might just be a better fit in AEW, kind of like we were talking about with Osprey, right? Because, like, he's not great at cutting promos even when he does it in AEW. Like, so it just, and I don't know that WWE would have just, you know, got a guy like Prince Nana to put him with. Like, he was with Hit Row, but that clearly kind of felt temporary because Swerve was just going to be kind of the big singles guy to come out from that. And obviously it never transpired, but like, it's good. I'm happy for him.
Very happy for him. Hi, baby. Tony Storm is once again women's champion.
Yeah.
Just keep it at this point.
And it's just like, listen, we all like Tony. And it's not Tony's fault. But since this time last year, you know, Jamie Hayter got hurt and had to go away. And I think that was Double or Nothing, honestly. So, you know, it went to Tony, and then it went to Sheeta, and then it went to Saraya, and then it went to Sheeta, and then it went back to Tony. So it's all in the span of like 3 months, too. It's just like, it's too much. You don't need to be doing all that. You could have just, you know, never, what you really needed to not do is put it on Saraya. Everything would have been fine if you didn't do that, just to kind of have a moment. But, you know, you sacrifice that and now you're here. And it's like, what's Tony going to do now? Because this character really doesn't need the title because, you know, the character's kind of doing its own thing. And it was working like that. And now to feud with this character, you know, whoever's feuding with them kind of gets sucked into that universe. And it's interesting.
Yeah. And the character thing for Tony is not really hidden for me either. Again, this is not about her and in the ring, because she's great in the ring. It's just been like I said, it's hot potato when it comes to that championship and that division. And, you know, hopefully she can finally stabilize it. I just, it's no interest in this whole division for me at this point. For the love of God, Mercedes, please hurry up and get healthy. And then Julia Hart is the new AEW TBS champion. I don't know if I care.
I mean,
I like Chris Statlander. I like Scott Blue, honestly. But yeah, they put on the one in that match. I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like Julia Hart. I'm glad she won or whatever. But a good point that Chris had was, you know, Chris Statlander came back and, you know, beat Jade, and then that was a big thing to have Jade put her over, and then she kind of just lost the title in her next big defense. I know she's defended it since at, you know, the TV shows or whatever, but, you know, it was kind of,
yeah,
like, what's the point of all
that? Pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
It was really just to get it off of Jade, and
yeah,
it makes the title look even worse because you had Jade do absolutely nothing with that belt for over a year. Direction, I don't know. I actually didn't know that Orange Cassidy had the International Championship back, And I'm going to assume this is the end of the Orange Cassidy, John Moxley stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised that Orange Cassidy retained because, you know, Mox won it from him at All Out. And then they had to flip it back because Mox got hurt. And then it just kind of felt like once Mox was healthy, he'd win it back again. But Orange retained. And it's interesting because, like, you know, he already kind of had the whole year-long reign. I don't know how much more you can do with it. So, mm-hmm. like, I like Orange Cassidy. He's doing really good work. But, like, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
How was Adam Copeland's big six-man tag?
Honestly, having it lead off the show was very smart. You know, the crowd was into it, and it was fun. Like, you know, he played the hits, and Nick Wayne flipped off Ric Flair, and then, like, Christian went out and started beating up Ric Flair and enjoyed both of those things. I don't think, have we done one of these since Ric Flair signed? Ric Flair works there now.
I think we may have mentioned it. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, it's not great. No. But yeah, it was good. I mean, you know what you're going to get from Sting at this point. You know, it's nice that he's still able to do this. Edge painted his face kind of like a mix of Sting and Darby. So it was fun, I guess. And then he speared Luchasaurus for the win. So it's fine. You kind of forget that he's there already, but it's fine.
Easily forgettable. I mean, that's pretty much the big things about it. I would say, like, it's upsetting to see that Claudio Castagnoli left WWE just to go wrestle pre-show matches for AEW.
But yeah.
It is what it is. Let's move on to another pay-per-view that's in the works, and that is Survivor Series War Games. That is this Saturday in Chicago, or excuse me, in Rosemont at the Allstate Arena. Will you be going to this?
I will not, because tickets went on sale in like the middle of July and sold out immediately. And I was like, well, that kind of sucks. And then I've been checking StubHub and they're just really not going down. And I have to work until noon on Friday anyway. So I'd have to like leave Friday night real quick or leave early Saturday morning and be at my house in time for Michigan and Ohio State. So
that's right.
Yeah, the scheduling's not going to work out, which is a bummer because I think it's going to be a real good show.
It's a home game this time, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes, it is.
That should be the most embarrassing win or embarrassing display in a victory I've ever seen. They're going to win. I have no doubt in my mind they're going to beat Ohio State. It's just going to be a lot of like, woe is me, you guys doubted us, all this other bullshit. But whatever. It's going to be fun when Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the Bears in my dreams.
Hell yeah.
Survivor Series War Games. We got five matches right now on the card. The Intercontinental Championship. We got Gunther. Longest reign in IC Championship history versus arguably the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, and that is The Miz. It's Gunther's win, right? But
yeah,
I think this is an opportunity for Miz to have an amazing showing. Because, I don't know, when that belt specifically is on the line, Miz shows up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's been a lot of really weird discourse about Miz over the past few years about how he's not good anymore, which, I mean, he's getting old, it is what it is, but, like, I think he's really turned it on TV the past couple months, and this match will be good. You know, Gunther's sort of guy that can go out and kind of just have good matches with pretty much anyone on the roster at this point, and I think that, you know, he should probably drop the Intercontinental title soon. I know I've seen some people say he should just keep it and have it going into Mania. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's good for him to lose and then win the Rumble. I don't know when you have him lose. It won't be to Miz, but, you know, maybe you do another Gable match or something and Gable finally beats him, even if it's just on TV or whatever. But yeah, I think this match is going to be good. I think, you know, the nice thing about having two War Games matches is all the other matches get kind of shortened too, and I think that'll really help this one.
Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley and Zoe Stark is really just a match for the card. Rhea Ripley's gonna win this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Zoe's done good work like ever since all the Trish stuff. I think really helped her along quite a bit, and I think, you know, she's a good worker. The character is kind of lame and boring and flat, but like, she can work, and clearly that's kind of being rewarded here. I think if you look at the kind of people that Rhea could have faced that felt like a big deal that she hasn't already faced, and, you know, they weren't going to do Becky yet, obviously. It's always a good pick. You know, you could do Rhea and Tegan, but Tegan's not really heated up like that. And you know, no one wants her to do Natalya or whatever again. See, just go with Zoe. Why not?
Yeah, you know, Rhea has kind of run out of, I don't want to say run out, because she can go up against Nia, but I think you save that for maybe a bigger stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity for Zoe to get some eyeballs on her. But yeah, this is just a showcase for Rhea Ripley, and she's going to have really two matches on this card to make an impact, and we'll get to that one later. Carlito is going to defend the honor of Rey Mysterio when he takes on Santos Escobar. Santos Escobar was dropping bombs on Rey Mysterio the other night. I don't speak Espanol, so if anyone translates and can give me the accurate translation, I would like to know. However, it's wonderful to see Carlito on a pay-per-view card. And I need to find out, and I wish Chris was here, because Chris would be able to find out so easily, what was the last pay-per-view Carlito was on? This is Santos's win, but it's great to see Carlito on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you guys hear me?
We got you. Hey, cool. Look, yeah, I call for you and you're back.
Yep. All right, Carlito. I was actually curious about that myself. I'm going to look it up right now.
Well, if you're not counting the Royal Rumble that he was in, then...
No, promoted match.
Yeah, you know? Let's see. Probably, when did he even leave? I'm trying to...
I was going to say, yeah, I can't remember if it was like in the 2011s.
He was in the 2010 Rumble, but that doesn't really count. He's in the six-pack challenge. The last singles match at a pay-per-view was, I think, the Triple H one from Unforgiven 2007.
I believe that is correct, yeah.
He's just been at Rumbles and tag matches since then.
That's right, because you would have been tagging with Primo.
Yep.
That's incredible. First?
That's crazy.
First pretty promoted pay-per-view match since we've been watching this shit. We're past his last pay-per-view match.
We literally passed his last pay-per-view match. He hasn't wrestled in the pay-per-view since the Bush administration.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Everything else. Yeah, like you said, everything else is multi-man, the ladder matches, tag matches.
Are you guys worried that he kind of looks blown up every time he wrestles?
I'm not, only because it's a mid-card situation where he's not going to be asked to do a lot. Right. And I imagine in this match with Santos, the idea is going to be to put him over. I don't think this match goes longer than 10.
Yeah,
I think they probably make the point like they did on Friday, because Santos is going to the moon. I'm not super concerned about that, just because I don't think Carlito is going to be in, like, he's not going to be next in line for Bloodline Theater, where he's going to be asked to do a 30-minute match with Roman Reigns or something.
That's fair.
He'll go less than like 12 with Lashley or whatever someday also too, I'm sure. But yeah.
You have to make your picks for the first two matches as well.
What were the first two that you guys went over?
Gunther and Miz and Zoe and Rhea.
Gunther and Rhea retain. I think Miz Gunther is only going to be interesting to me, just because, you know, obviously Miz is the most decorated active Intercontinental Champion in the company right now. And it's actually funny, if you look up like the most decorated Intercontinental Champions, most of them are like either active or active adjacent right now.
Dude, it's crazy. Miz, when I did a couple years ago like a bracket, like an Intercontinental Championship bracket, I really broke it down. I was like, wait a minute. A lot of these older folks who had the IC belt didn't really have strong reigns, or like they weren't necessarily long. Like Bret Hart, like you think, oh yeah, Bret Hart is this great Intercontinental Champion. He beat Mr. Perfect Foot. His reigns wasn't all that. You feel me?
He's 20th in terms of combined reigns in terms of length. It's only 290 days. That's still behind Jeff Jarrett.
Like, I guess the way they love to lie to you about The Rock and Stone Cold, and like barely held onto the belt. We all know with Austin, and you know, Rock just kind of used it truly as the propeller to the championship. Not really having one great match with that belt, and then Triple H obviously. So it's crazy how like the modern day folks, like it was a lot of Kofi Kingston, Wade Barrett. I think I had high on that list, you know, that have really done shit with that belt. And, you know, if we did do like a bracket and we had four number ones, I think we're staring at two number ones right here.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Probably these two and like Jeff Hardy and
I would say Jericho. I would say Jericho. Jericho also. In terms of, yeah, obviously, like, you know, if we include guys like Jericho, you can obviously include him. He has the most reigns all time. I don't think Miz is going to get there unless they give him one, like, down the line. Obviously, it's not going to happen now.
how far off is Miz? Miz is at, what, five?
Miz is one off. Okay. Jericho has nine, and Miz has eight.
Okay.
Miz's last reign was when he won at Raw 25 off of Roman. But he only held it for 76 days. I forgot who he dropped to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was Finn. Yeah, it was Finn. That's right. It's Finn. That's right. Or Seth. Seth, actually, I think it was. That sounds about right.
Was it? Did Seth win the IC before WrestleMania
then? Yeah, because Seth would have won the IC because that said was...
Raw 25. That would have been 2018.
Yeah, because that was 2018. Seth was IC champion that spring because he wrestled Elias and Money in the Bank in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, he did. That match was actually good.
On the brain.
Yeah, it was actually good, which is incredibly random. For Zoe Rhea, Rhea's going to win. This is the kind of match that you want to have happen at a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the title matches aren't going to be the focus, so you can get away with it just in the same way that, you know, last year they got away with it when they did Ronda Shotzi, although I think this match has a significantly higher floor than that match last year. I will say at first I wasn't her biggest fan, and that's just because she was new and she was beating people that I liked. I was a little salty, I'll admit. Zoe's good. So Zoe, she's a good worker. She's done all the right things. She's had a good year sneakily. I don't think a lot of people are talking about it because she's probably not high on everyone's, you know, fave list or whatever, but like she's done a lot. She's improving. Yeah, maybe she's not the greatest mic worker. Great. Bailey wasn't either, and now she is. Guess what? You give people reps, they'll probably get better. It is what it is.
Really quickly, how have you been with this whole dissension with the the fuck are they called? Damage control?
Well, yeah.
Just the definite alluding to, hey, you don't know it yet, but you're on the outs. It's not going to be
good. Yeah, you know, like I've long thought, and this is partially why I've been so easygoing about the way that, you know, they've been presented, the way their wins and losses have gone. The entire bit, the entire time, to me, and it's pretty obvious what it was, is the fact that they felt Bailey was holding them back because she lost the matches that EO has gone on to win this year. And the whole thing is just going to be that, you know, she thought that she was, you know, in a good spot, obviously, but they were working and conspiring against her. Now, the thing is with that, it's like, yeah, Bailey's been a jerk the last couple of years. Yeah, she's, you know, done all this stuff. She's accepted matches on their behalf. She's put them in precarious spots. But does that mean that they have to conspire against her and kick her out of the group? No. And I think that's where the sympathy is going to come from for her, because I do think that this is leading to a babyface turn for her. And frankly, I understand everything the way that it's gone. I would say that babyface Bailey at this point could be about as good as it gets for her. She was really good in 2015. She was not the performer she was then that she is now. I think even she would admit that. So she has an opportunity to really take another step forward in her career and add another level to her game. So I think people are going to get behind her. And it's not the most difficult thing in the world either to make her face at this point. They don't have to do anything crazy. It's going to be pretty easy.
When she does turn babyface, do you think she goes back to the hugging Bailey we used to know?
No, I think if I were running, you know, the ship or whatever, and I do think, you know, even though we're far apart, I feel like what I've been thinking has been kind of playing out on TV. I would just trim the choir part in her theme song, have her wear more, a little more vibrant colors like she used to. Just go with it and just change her attitude. She knows how to tell a story out there. She knows how to get it around. She's going to have to seek redemption from people, but she's good at that.
Right on. We got two War Games matches. Let's start with the women. Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and Ross Becky Lynch popping in because she can do that shit. Taking on the Damage Control team of Bayley, Asuka, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane. This is going to be very fun. This is going to be very fucking fun. I don't know who to go with. I put it like this. I think Bayley ends up eating the pin. It's either the only two people I see eating a pin here are Bayley or Shotzi. For some strange reason, I think that someone on that face team, whether it's Bianca, Charlotte, or Becky, is going to come out standing tall.
I think the thing that will be telling of this is how deep are we into this? That's what the result of this is going to tell me. If Bayley loses the match for her team, her days are obviously numbered. However, if they win, and I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to lose this match. If they win, it means they're staving it off. And to be fair, they just assembled this new unit 2 weeks ago. They are purposely avoiding them having a match for the advantage. They're giving them the fan vote, which I think is pretty cool. They're going to probably get some money out of that from Ruffles, which is really nice. So they're by design, they're keeping the pinfalls away here. So I don't think that, and I think that later with the men's war game match, I don't think Judgment Day is winning. So I don't think the heels are going to sweep. I don't think the babyfaces are going to sweep either. I think it's going to go 1-1. And if Randy Orton comes back for the babyfaces, it's probably a wrap. So I'm going to go with Damage Control. And I think Kairi will probably prove to be the difference. One other additional prediction, much like last year with Sammy, they're going to force Bayley to be first, or she's going to take the role first. They're going to think that they're fucked and she's going to do well. And that's going to be the beginning of the babyface stuff. Just very subtle.
Yeah. I mean, it's one that I think, it's going to be interesting because, it depends who you think's winning the men's one, really, because you don't think that the babyface are going to win both. You don't think the heels are going to win both. So you kind of have to pick and choose. So it's like, it feels like the men's one's more likely to be won by the babyfaces. Just considering they're going to have a big surprise return, which we'll talk about, shortly. It does kind of feel like Shotzi might be there to do some crazy shit and take the pin. So yeah, I think I'm going to go with Damage Control.
Yeah, those are the only two that I can really see getting hit here. But the odds are will be Shotzi because she is easily the lower name of anybody. But if you want to get the storyline from point A to point B, it might be Bayley. In the men's War Games match, we got Judgment Day, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Dom, JD McDonagh, and Drew McIntyre joining up with the crew. They will take on Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and TBD. Who is TBD?
Well, I would imagine it's Randy Orton. I guess it could be Kevin Owens, I guess, but he's doing his own thing. His like only tie to them is that he's Sammy's friend. And I know there's, this whatever Nakamura is doing where he's kind of alluding to, I don't know if he's going to do like an open challenge against someone there or something, but I think it's going to be Randy in this spot and makes the most sense. It seems like they're going to reveal that on Raw, which also makes sense instead of waiting till the night of and having a disaster when it's not a certain guy that everyone wants it to be. I believe it's Randy Orton.
I agree with it being Orton. Also, possibility just popped in my head. I know you were talking about Nakamura. I know he's a SmackDown guy. Maybe it's Dragon Lee.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean,
They're certainly pushing him.
Yeah.
But yeah, as for the men's War Games, number five on the men is most likely going to be Randy Orton. And that'll be really cool.
It would be really cool. I've missed seeing the Viper over last year and a half. It's long overdue that he makes his return. So who wins this match?
I'm going to go the baby faces here, I think. Probably Orton getting the pin. And I don't think he's going to be a baby face for very long. But, you know, I think for now, he'll get the pin and then eventually probably turn on either Cody or... I mean, Cody makes the most sense. I guess he could turn on Seth and feud with him for that title if they really wanted to do that as well. But
mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of history there, and
yeah, exactly. I
don't remember the last time they actually linked up.
It's been a while. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been since 2015.
Because
Orton, he did the thing with Sheamus that summer, and then he went away, was like the next year, inactive for a really long time. Yep. Went to SmackDown. Yeah. Not since 2015, so it's a match with a lot of history, but it's a match that's also protected, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't think they've done that for a championship since then. So
correct. I will go with the babyface. I will also say Orton wins, keeping up with the Soul Survivor vibe, even though he's obviously not a Soul Survivor. He's going to probably pin McDonough.
Yeah, I agree. JD's taking this win. You're not here for anything else, brother. And then, yeah, let's mention that, man. Do you think CM Punk returns?
Yes. End credits style, maybe they bring back the, you have to wait until the logo appears or disappears type of elongating. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like... It's so hard because, like, I don't know what are they going to do with him. He's probably – they don't have a pay-per-view again until the Rumble. You're not just going to have him wrestle on Raw, so
– He doesn't need to wrestle on Raw. They just need to get an audience. I mean, they're facing football and whatnot, so.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I think I'll show up at the end.
I'll go ahead and be the dissenter and say no because there has to be one person on this show who's right. Whether I'm wrong or you guys are wrong.
That's true.
I feel like the longer you get to it and the more the tea leaves are still there and it doesn't really feel like it's being shot down. It feels like, yes, he is going to be there. It feels like, yes, he's going to come back in some way, shape or form. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know. And the simple fact that I don't know, I'm going to have to wait until the credits go off and the credits roll or the video package goes off because who knows, they might come back. I don't know. For that simple fact, I'm going to have to say no and be the dissenter here. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if he's back and what he does. Again, I don't know what he does. If it's just you play off the stuff with him and Seth. You know, Roman's not around, so I don't see him going up against the Bloodline or a reason for him to do that here. You know, they might just back themselves into a Bray Wyatt corner when last year they brought him mm-hmm. back and it was all of this pomp and circumstance mm-hmm. and they had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
No, that's fair.
Let's go back to 2007. Cyber Sunday and everything on the way. Well, real quick. I almost forgot. Bloodline not on this show. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I think the focus is War Games. I'm, you know, I don't want to say I don't care if Roman's not at the Rumble either. I just think the Rumble should be the focus, but that one's different. You know, stadium show, he should probably be at that one. Like, I don't necessarily care if he's not at Elimination Chamber, but again, that's one that, like, you know, stadium show. I don't care if he doesn't wrestle again until WrestleMania because it's the same match. I like it. I mean, it is what it is. I like watching Roman. He's very good. You know, it's been incredible, but like, you know, we're nearing the end of it. And it's just like, you know, you speed it up a little bit.
I agree.
Concur.
I agree. Yeah. Rob, what are you going to say?
Well, I was just, you know, with Chris kind of having his technical issues, did we want to just do the 2007 stuff when we recap Survivor Series, you know, next week so we can kind of get our stuff all in order over here and just...
Yeah, we can. Chris, anything from Full Gear that you want to rap about? We kind of went through really, you know, most of the matches. I didn't watch, so this is just what I was just, like, paying attention to on Twitter. The main event was... a clusterfuck to getting there. What'd you think?
I think my only comment is that it's very weird that the AEW women's title has been distributed like a palindromes for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Hayter winds up winning from Tony, then we'll end up getting a complete palindrome. So they should probably work on that. I don't know anything else, but yeah, that main event seemed like it was a real mess.
Golden Jets, the artists who support Bobby Holes, how have a tag team title opportunity. Young Bucks got booed in LA. Your thoughts?
You can take that one, Rob, to start.
Oh no, we already went through all this. This is all you, my friend.
We're
saying fuck 07. We're giving you the time to go back and gotcha. and say what you want to say about Full Gear.
You know, I think it's very interesting that the Bucks got booed in California. But yeah, I mean, that's really my only comment on that. It's just they're in a very interesting spot there. It seems like that, especially since they re-upped.
What'd you think about the death match?
It seemed crazy. I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to seek it out, but it seemed pretty crazy.
Yeah. Are we done?
I don't know that there's too much else. Ronda Rousey is gonna, I think, work Final Battle, so that's interesting. I suppose
Final Battle, which might be the final battle of ROH.
They're not doing well.
Well, who could have predicted that?
Yeah, they didn't really have a plan for it, and then it was one thing when it was just in, you know, the Universal Studios, you know, Impact Zone or whatever, but taking it on the road, and you know, because I stayed for it after Collision at the United Center. I stayed till the end of Ring of Honor, and you just see people, more and more people leaving after every match, and it's a real bummer.
So how did they do that?
So they do Collision, and then, you know, they take 5 or 10 minutes to just get the ropes fixed and the apron change out, and then you just go right into Ring of Honor. And
okay.
I don't think it's the order that they, you know, film the matches. I don't think that's the order they air, because they started with like Kingston and Shibata in a tag match. So that was probably moved to later in the show. And like, but yeah, Athena was out kind of early. So they kind of know that people are going to leave early too. And they want to, you know, make these look like they have more people there than they actually do. But yeah, it's just people leaving after every match kind of in droves. And you get to the end, there's like 400 people left in a 17,000 seat arena.
What I don't understand about that is like, That model is understandable for how they do Dynamite going into Rampage after Dynamite.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that for a dying brand like ROH when you do this on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You can tape ROH ahead of Collision.
Exactly.
There's a lot of self-inflicted wounds there. You know, it's the Eric Andre meme.
Mm-hmm.
And you got fucking Samoa Joe now, like, trying to merge titles and shit. And, like, oh, yeah, we see what's going on here. I know. Everyone tells Tony Khan that he has bad ideas. And he just says, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. And then slowly realizes, oh, shit, I made a horrible mistake.
Yes, yeah, you did. Exactly.
I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNeil31. Chris is at Chris. I'm Novak. At Barbara Chernet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarberShareDigital. 79th and Hallis will have new content from the Raiders. No, Raiders, good lord. The Lions game today. Will we talk about football on 2 Minute Drill? I don't know. I think we're getting to the point because Justin's back and everything's more clear. So, yeah, I think December. Let's just go ahead and put a soft launch date for the season at December, and we'll just spend the next 2 months actually talking about good football. Yeah, and then everything, yeah, just keep supporting the Barbershare. More shit coming up in, what is this, year 7? Good lord. Again, thank you for listening. This has been Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later.